Romans chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 7 of Romans chapter 15. And tonight I'm calling our teaching Supporting One Another. Supporting One Another. And this is really an encouragement tonight in body ministry. And I trust that as we look at this, we'll see why it is that we come together, why we fellowship, why we come and worship the Lord, and we listen to the Word. Tonight I trust that we're going to see yet more of why our meetings are so important, particularly in these last days. But let's read this verse in chapter 15 of Romans, verses 1 to 7. We then, who are strong, ought to bear the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproach is of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Amen. Supporting one another, that's what I'm going to look at tonight. Now, bearing with each other is fundamentally to perfect us. It is to perfect us, as we're reading here in the context, in long-suffering, in patience. It's all part of the fruit of the Spirit, because as we know, Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And for us to bear that fruit and for that fruit to be seen, we very much need to be in Christ's body. We need to be baptized into his body to function, to be with one another. And as we faithfully meet week after week, what we're finding is that God is working that fruit in our lives. And you will find when God puts you into his body with his people, his saints, We are all different. And I'm sure we're all very much aware of that. And we're also very aware that we probably wouldn't even bother with one another if it were not for Christ. So we find that when we receive the new birth and filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized into the local body, a body to function, we find that God never makes a mistake, and he brings everyone, he sets every member into the body to function so that we can mature and grow up in our ministries and so on. And of course we know that speaks clearly of that in Ephesians 4. And God, of course, sets the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the working of that. And he's doing that. We are all in the process as God is working with us. And we know that God, at his right time, will add to the church. There are still saints to come in. But very often we have find that God is dealing with us first. Because if we are to see growth, then he's going to bring people in where we are in that place to be able to bear with them, endure, be patient, and all those things that are needful, because they often are babes and they don't know an awful lot. And there are a lot of rough edges. And so they're going to change by your example. And that is why I believe that Lord is going to do a quick work in these last days, where it's taken people like me almost 40 years, we're going to see a quicker work, because they will see examples. This is why Jesus was able to work with the disciples for just 3 years, which isn't a lot at all, but it was enough for them to be committed. Even though they weren't committed, they fled when the Lord was crucified, but a lot of that was fear. A lot of that was confusion. A lot of that was immaturity. But they were going to come back. God knew they would come back, because they were eternally called anyway. And of course we see Jesus' dealings with them when he rose from the dead, and how he met with them, and how he prepared them. And of course they were led into the upper room, the 120, and there wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Christ to come back to them. So we see the importance of the body, body ministry, how each of us affect our brother, our sister. Each of us are involved in the maturing of the assembly. This is why you can't say, well, what use am I? What purpose am I? I don't do anything. I just don't say anything. I have no purpose in the body of Christ. You do, by the very fact that you are there, you are put into the body. You are very instrumental in the body's maturity and development. That's what it's all about. Because we know that we're all different, whether it be a thumb or a toe or an arm or an ear or eye or whatever it would be. We all make up the function of the body. And every facet of our physical body is essential for its unity. It's the way it works and functions. And it's exactly the same spiritually, which of course we know. So it's speaking here in the context of bearing with each other in order to perfect us in long-suffering, in patience, so that we can move alongside, and as God adds to the church, we can be those examples. We can be those spiritual fathers or mothers that can help in the ministry. Indeed, that is important. So, breaking this down, in Matthew 15, we see in verse 1, he says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." Now, this is fundamentally deals with the actions of the weak, which I've been speaking about. In other words, it's those who are weak, those who are unwise. They haven't got a lot of wisdom yet, not a lot of knowledge, but they're born again, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they sort of lack the faith. They're not yet in that real place of faith, which of course I want to remind us all that we're still growing in the faith after all these years. And the idea of the word scruples, which it speaks of here, is a quite a good word actually, because it speaks of a sort of moral or ethical consideration that acts as a restraining force. So in other words, your wisdom, your walking with God these years, helps the weak, the young, the vulnerable in the faith, so that in love you can move alongside, you can encourage, you can pray, you can intercede. Mothers can be spiritual mothers, can be very useful to the younger mothers, helping, encouraging them. So we're seeing this involvement, but it's not an involvement of control. It's done, notice, bearing with each other. It is always done in long-suffering and in patience. Now, why is it long-suffering and patience? Because there are times when you run out of patience. And why is it you run out of patience? Because you've said it quite a number of times. And you spend quite some quality time with them. And yet it outwardly appears as though they're not learning anything. Does it sound familiar? It sounds familiar, certainly parents with children, doesn't it? So it's not dissimilar with the body of Christ. And we're going to see this. And God is going to add to this church when we come to that place where we bear with one another and we don't become impatient, or we don't feel, where we come to a place where we feel we've got to verbally tell them off or expose them, and these things which are not done in love, because it crushes. What that does is it tries to destroy the unity and the oneness of the body of Christ. And neither can it be done in an environment where there is still criticism, where there is still judgmentalism, judging people. That is not how God can and work. God has never put any of us in this body to put other people right. And yet it goes on. God has not put us in to do that. And we think that we have that authority to put our brother and sister right. Now, there are occasions the Holy Spirit can work, but then if he does, that saint has prayerfully been before God and waiting on the Holy Spirit. But 9 times out of 10, it all comes by prayer and intercession. It's taking away and it's supplicating. And there is the patience, there is the long-suffering, which is required because it's in prayer. We're praying it through. We're often praying through that Lord will give them a greater understanding, a wisdom, a knowledge. They'll have more of a sensitivity of Christ who is in them. I spoke about that on Sunday. These are powerful prayers and intercessions. Then we will start to begin to see changes. We'll start to see saints being added. But God is never going to add to the church if we're going to look at them critically. We're going to judge them, because as God brings them in, you're going to see all sorts. We are seeing a rapid falling away in these last days. People are changing in appearance. A lot of them, they're taking on certain traits and personalities which are demonic. And that isn't rocket science. And we see what drugs do to people, or what alcohol does to people. So we are going to see these sorts being saved. Yes, they come in, but we'll also see if they're lovingly, gently nurtured in the faith, we'll see how God mighty delivers them. Some, we don't always see these changes, we're not always seeing these deliverances, because we don't know how to handle people. So this is what this is talking about. It's bearing with others, taking on these burdens, and so on. So this is what he means by the idea of scruples, this moral and ethical consideration, which helps to restrain the saints. That's why we have a guard over our tongue. We practice these restraints for the sake of the unity of the body. I could do something, I could say this, but I choose not to because of the unity of the body. Because it could go different. It could be counterproductive. And the Holy Spirit never leads us where we take a gamble that this could be counterproductive. He never works that way. If the Holy Spirit is working, it will work. It will glorify God. So it's not that hit and miss. Let's turn with me into Ephesians chapter 4, just to remind ourselves how God does this, because it's important just to grasp this in the context. Ephesians chapter 4, just verses 1 to 3. Ephesians 4, I know you know this well, but he says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is how we are to walk with each other, endeavouring to keep the unity, to keep together for the body of Christ to continue to function. How we have seen the enemy trying to attack in that area to destroy the body of Christ, to destroy this assembly. And there are times when we wonder, is that what's going to happen? But thank God, we're sealed by the blood of Jesus. What does it say in Galatians? Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. But each one shall bear his own load. Very apt. What did it say? Certainly verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself or herself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What's he talking about there? He's talking about pride. When you think you're something, you think that you've got the right to put everybody right. You think you've got the right to speak your mind and so forth. We haven't. Many, many times I choose not to say when I could for the sake of the unity of the body, because I know where the power lies. It's in prayer. But people who are like this in verse 3 will soon reveal themselves to be people who don't have much of a prayer life. And there's the problem. We're then turning back to Romans chapter 15, looking at verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. So putting your neighbour, putting your brother, your sister first in every situation leads to edification. edifying. Edifying the Lord and edifying the body of Christ and what it stands for and so on. That's fundamentally what it means. This is the motive why we do this. This is the motive. And we find indications of the motive of why we do this. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, which tells us, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So it's not about me. When I meet my brother, my sister, when I come together, when we come just like we do tonight, this meeting is not about me. Not about you. It's about the one you sit next to. It's about the one you look at. It's about the one whom you're burdened for, or whatever it is. That's what fellowship is about. It's not about me and what I can get out of this meeting tonight. If you come and I want something out of this meeting tonight, I want goosey bumps, I want to go on cloud nine with the Lord, you've missed it. Because it's not what it's about. And this is why, sadly, a lot of these meetings, these charismatic moves and so forth, they go with the wrong motive. It's what I can get out of this tonight. I'm here tonight because the worship is great. I'm here tonight because the word is preached. I'm here tonight because the Spirit really moves. Now, all of that of which is important that it does, but is that the motive? No. The motive tells me I am here for my brother, for my sister. It's not about me. And there's the difference. And that's why it doesn't work. And that's why it is entertainment. That's why it is soulish. And you will find, if you are looking to be entertained, you will find you'll get fed up with it in the end, because it's only appealing to the emotions, to the pride. Only those who bear the cross and take it up daily will truly understand what this is all about, and true unity and fellowship. So the body of Christ, our fellowship, can only keep going. This body can only continue to function if we come with this right motive, and it is for my brother, for my sister, and for the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm coming for self, I'm not going to last long here, because I'm missing it, what it's really about. Now, how much of that do you hear preached today in churches? I don't think much at all. Some would really be aghast at hearing this, but that's what it's telling us. Still not convinced? Philippians chapter 2 verse 4. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So it's speaking there about being interested in your brother, your sister. What God is doing in their lives, giving them time, being a good listener. All of that is important, you see, to help build the true unity and oneness of the body. I said to you, these motives are absolutely important. This is why it says back in verse chapter 15, verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. This is how we edify. What I do in faith for him or her, for her good, it will edify the body of Christ. It will bring that saint closer to God. That's what it does. My edifying, my coming for the right motives and reasons is going to bring brothers and sisters closer to Christ. That's why I say, you see, we go as far in this as we are prepared to yield in obedience over to what God's saying. This is how the bride is making herself ready, you see. It's not just sitting back and God waving a magic wand and suddenly we've got all our robes on, we're all ready to meet the Lord in the air. No. We play a big part in this. Body ministry plays a big part in the edification of the body of Christ and her making herself ready. Well, let's continue with this also in verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So he gives an example here of what we've just been talking about. And here is the ultimate model that we represent Christ in helping the weak. We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us, for the edification of the body, for sharing with the weak, long-suffering, patience, just like Christ did, so are we. We are those representatives in that sense. Let's turn back to Philippians again. Back in chapter 2. Back in Philippians 2. And I want to look at verses 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2. And it was verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We take on that same spirit in that sense, that same nature, the same spirit. We're representing Christ, God, not myself, not my ideas, not me promoting self or whatever it is, to edify, to help the body of Christ, to help the weak and so forth. It's Christ in me that they should be seeing. That's what this is about. And we edify, and that is essential. Let's turn to Psalm 69 in getting an understanding how we come to edify, to lift, to exhort, to build up the body of Christ. Psalm 69 verses 9 to 12. 9 to 12, Psalm 69. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkard. That is speaking of Christ, how he came, how he emptied himself, the ministry, the role that he took on, how he was rejected of men, how he appeared as a laughingstock, ridiculous, peculiar, a failure. Remember the teaching I gave last week? How it all looks a failure? That's what he's saying there. And so it's that very nature, that how we identify, that very heart, spirit, that humility will edify, build up the body of Christ. Pride, arrogance doesn't build up the body of Christ. And this is why God has to remove that pride in time, if we're not willing to bow the knee and to humble. Because it's completely contrary for God to build with. You can't build with proud, arrogant people. No way. They're in fact enemies to the cross, because that pride blinds them. But as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so he can use us for, and we edify one another, we build one another up in the faith. That's what we're doing here tonight, or should be. It's all about edifying, helping, building one another up in the faith, you see. Not just left to the pastor. We really need to move on from that one. Well, back to Romans 15. Romans 15, looking at verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So here he speaks about patience, endurance. And so much is built through these virtues. Patience fulfills the plan of God and the establishment of the kingdom. That's why he has much patience. Because it's patience that builds his house. It's patience that causes the bride to make herself ready. And thank God our God is patient. We can all of us say, well, praise God he didn't come today, because I wouldn't have been ready, or whatever it would be. How merciful and patient he is. So that is what he is. He doesn't have to be patient. He is patient. He is all these virtues. As we know, that's his sovereignty. But patience fulfills the plan of God and the establishment of his kingdom. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 onwards. 35 to 39 of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So that's our faith. That's what we believe. What it says in verse 39. We're not those that go back. I'm not going back. There's nowhere to go to. You have the words of eternal life. Praise God. Then God can build through us. And that's how he will build that temple. He builds that temple through endurance, through faithfulness. It actually means in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. And if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So it's all about faithfulness. So unity, fellowship is for the saving of the soul. So this assembly, this is about us being saved, being brought out from, making it in. That's why the body of Christ is so essential. It's as God showed us years back, it's like a spiritual ark. And we know the floods are coming. We hear the signs, we hear what God is saying. So it's come in, the Lord says, the door's open. The same as the door was open to the ark. It's open to those, all who want to come in. But one day, it'll close. And God will close it. Not man. And that's the point. So it is for fellowship. It's for edification. That's why the church is for saints. That's what it's about. You can get some unbelievers who can come in. Praise God, yes, they can get saved. But basically, these meetings are for those saved, redeemed, sealed by the blood, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized into Jesus, baptized into the body for fellowship and edification, ministry, and so on. That's what these meetings are about. For these are the conditions, how the bride, she makes herself ready. So we're not to cast away our faith, our confidence. We have need of endurance, as he says. But after we've done the will of God, we receive the promise. The promise of sonship. The promise of overcoming. The promise of destined for the throne of God. That's the promises. That's what he's showing us. What does it say in Matthew 16, verse 24? Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The denial of the self-life. And that's what it is. And only those who see the cross and who are willing to take it up daily are the ones who are used for the edification of the body of Christ. Now the question I'm going to raise to each one tonight and to myself, am I edifying this body? And only you can answer that. Only you can be honest before God. And only you can take that before God. And only God, if you want it, can show you. Because we can't. I can't. It will be judging otherwise. But if we desire, we love this assembly, then that is a question we'll take seriously before the Lord. And that is the point. It cannot always be left to one ministry. It cannot always be left to the pastor. We all are growing up in this. Well, let's go back to Romans. As we start to bring this to the conclusion, Romans chapter 15, and we look at verse 5, of which it says, Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. So he calls himself here patience and comfort, which of course he is. So because he is patient, he is comfort, he is all these things, so if we want, we let him, he will minister that to us so that we give it out likewise. You see, whatever God is giving to us, we give out. That's why out of our innermost being shall flow those rivers of living water. And if I am one with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, then sooner or later, God who's in me has got to flow out of me and touch lives and edify and build and so forth. It has to. I can't believe if a Christian says that what they are and are not filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit and do nothing, something is wrong. Because we have it in the Holy Spirit. And he calls himself here patience and comfort, which he ministers to us. But how often has God comforted you? And if he's comforted you, which he does, then you do it likewise to others who need some comfort, who need some time, who maybe need your time to be interested. To give comfort, some may be going through a difficult trial. Are we Job's comforters, trying to put them right, give them advice? Or are we there as a comfort? And we're more ready to listen to them than to give advice. We've still got a long way to go in that area. Really have. We are to be like-minded. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So he goes on. There he speaks in his closing to the Corinthian church in his benediction there. He says it there. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Encourage one another. Don't put one another down. I wonder, when we talk with our brothers and sisters, it might be worth, well, I don't know how one could do it actually. In this digital age and technology, maybe we can get a device that could do it, but we could wear it around our neck. But it'd be interesting, when we're supposed to be comforting and edifying one another, how many times the word I comes out. Interesting. Be very interesting. Well, God knows, doesn't he, eh? But you're getting my point. You're getting my point. You see, the completion of the body is based on unity. We are only going to get where we're going to be in our unity and our oneness. And this is how she makes, that is the bride, she makes herself ready. And we see this back in verse 6 of Romans. Which says that you may be with one mind to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it will be a miracle to be of one mind, one mouth, glorifying God. Only God could do that. It isn't possible. Maybe the nearest thing that's possible is to train a choir when they sing together, so that they're in word and mind together at that point. But that's man-made, and something comes to mind. Or if they recite something. Well, it isn't about the oneness of mind, and that when we sing choruses together, we're all in unison. It goes a lot deeper than that. A lot deeper than that. Now, we get an inkling of this in something very familiar, which is very challenging. The next page, as you turn, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, of which he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And I believe the Holy Spirit will accomplish and build that. But that can only be built in love, in edification. When you are an example by what you don't say, by how you live, by how you act. Words can be cheap. Actions, they're worth a lot. Can't put money to that. "Now I plead with you, brethren," he's pleading here, "by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," that's what he's done in, "you speak the same thing." Now that can only come by being under the word. As we hear the word, as faith comes by hearing the word, as the word works in our hearts. "Because my sheep hear my voice, they follow me." So we have been under the word for many years, some of us. And what that is doing, that's working in us so that we speak the same thing. I'm trusting tonight that the word that I'm sharing with you is what you would also speak. It's what you also agree with. And we agree with it because we know in the natural it can't be kept. It can't be achieved. It's impossible. So because we know it's impossible, therefore it has to be God, because God says with God, all things are possible. That's how I knew the word of God, when I began to hear it, and I knew it was impossible. I thought, no, I can live this. I can't live this. However, my faith says, yes, I can. See? Because we walk by faith. That you all speak the same thing, and that there is no division among you. So that we love one another, because what I see tonight is not only God's remnant, but I see my brothers, my sisters, who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, oneness of this body. That's what I see. And therefore, on that basis, we speak the same thing, that there's no division. How can there be a division if we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the oneness of the Godhead? You can't divide any of it. The same as you can't divide the Godhead. And we are one. He lives in us and we live with each other. We're all one in the family of God. Now, of course, how God works that out in our everyday walk and when we meet and so forth, well, only the Lord can do that. That you be perfectly joined together. What does he mean to be perfectly joined together? It means that we are functioning as a body. Like your body that's perfectly fit together. That's the miracle of God. So that's the body the same. Don't look at the number, how many are coming, how many we have in the body. We haven't got an awful lot, but God hasn't made a mistake. Maybe God's saying, well, there's only a small amount of you at the moment. What are you going to do with what you've got? You want more to come, but what are you doing? How are you functioning? So he says that you'd be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. So with our minds that are being renewed, which they are, being delivered, being changed, so we're all in the same process. God's working with all our minds, changing our minds, that we have that one mind, and also in judgment. In other words, as we look to the future, as God works this out, as we overcome, and as the body moves forward, and so forth. We're one in that sense. Beautiful how God's doing it. But we're not in control of it. You're not in control of it. I'm not in control of it. Only the Holy Spirit is. Because it's a miracle. It can't be done in the natural. Flesh and blood can't do this. It's as we yield to it that God works it in and through me. And this is why this is so essential. You see, brothers and sisters, you know, God is bringing us to this place. God is beginning to mature you individually so that you play that part in functioning in the body, and that your function is to edify, is to help build and encourage. Edification building is not just with the fivefold ministry. That's only part of it. Yes, it plays a very important part, but it's not all of it, you see. Don't look to this ministry, my ministry, that this is going to build and edify the body. It's only part of it that's building it. What God's going to do through you helps build it as well. So we all need to be looking to Christ in this and not looking to a man. Because this is how churches, ministries fall. We have seen ministries fall over the years because people are looking to the man, the preacher, the pastor, or whatever they're calling themselves, and they're not looking to Christ. I'll share with you, I was on the phone today. Danny from India rang me, and he said, Kim, he said, I'm now no longer with the ministry. I'm now no longer with the ministry that was in the home and the church where he would go and minister there. He says, I'm completely separated from it now. And he said, I'm before the Lord, before the Lord. He said, we need a name, something to call ourselves, and so forth. He said, Kim, seek the Lord that we can find what God wants us to be called. And I got before God, and it didn't take very long before the Lord, I felt, gave me something. And it's only just the name. It's just people can identify. That's all it is. The same as we're called, you know, Full Gospel Assembly. And I became so impressed. The Lord said to me, I want them to be called Bread of Life Ministries. And I thought on that, and I thought, yes, the bread, the word, but they also give out food as well to feed the poor, the orphans, the lepers, the widows. And you know what touched me so much with that brother? He said, I've got about 150, something like that, have come away from the church who didn't witness with their father and want to continue with this ministry. Several pastors have come as well with their flock. He's taken all the orphans, 100 of them, away from the place. And he says, we're going to feed them, and we're going to continue to feed those widows and those lepers. That is what God showed me. And we'll continue to do that. I've made it clear, we don't want any festivities. We don't want celebrating Easter, Christmas, and all that business, and all their festival days, and they have a lot of them. He said, we're not, nothing of that. He has taken a big step of faith. Please be in prayer, intercession for him. I know I need to go out there as soon as possible. When I'm over the situation I am, the Lord show me I'm to go out there. Now, that's going to be a test for this assembly, isn't it? Why I'm gone? Because I may be gone for a couple of months. Is this going to continue to function? Are we going to continue to edify one another? Are we going to see the gifts in operation? God knows. God knows. Here we are. We're presenting it to you. It's up to each of us whether the body continues to function. And of course, if I go and whatever, well, we know there's internet, and yes, I can minister where I can. But the point is, you know, we have to look to the Lord. We're moving on. You know, at the moment, our outreach seems to be in other countries. It's in Kenya and India. I wish it was in our town. I wish it was in our city. I really, really do. I wish it was in this country. But at the moment, it's not the right timing. But where are we getting our training? Where are we seeing at the moment the real needs? Not so much here, but out in those places. So what a privilege. Don't get your mind into it. We just move with God, how he works. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Supporting one another. That's what we have looked at tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we want to bless and thank you. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that you have edified us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you came, you emptied yourself. You took on the form of a servant, a slave, to edify. You came as an example. And Lord, we likewise want that heart and motive. It's not about me. It's about the body of Christ. It's about my brother, my sister. Father, I pray that you would put that within our hearts if it's not there. Cause each one of us to seek you, Father, over this word that we have heard tonight. Help us not to run away, to hide. Help us not to get our minds and hearts in the way, Lord, but just to trust that you are building, Father, and you know what you're doing. Help us to get out of the way. You don't want us meddling with the body of Christ, with what we think is right. It's nothing to do with what we think is right. It's how we're led by the Holy Spirit. That is the most important thing. So, Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for this word, which we believe is timely, in the right season. And I believe that much fruit will be born from this, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, have we got a song or two to praise and worship and thank the Lord?
She's onward.